You are going to listen to an interview about globalization and national identity. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, complete the sentences 1 to 6 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers. Can we get started? Professor Storms, thank you for meeting with me today. Since you've kindly agreed to answer some of mine and our listeners' burning questions on globalization and its effects, would you give our audience an idea of how you became an expert on this topic?
Well, after finishing my studies in international management at Berkeley University, I accepted the position of assistant manager for a multinational company, where I had to deal with the latest developments in globalization on a daily basis and for the duration of almost 7 years. From there, my career led me back to my alma mater, where I became a professor in the international management department. This position enabled me to intensify my research concerning the effects of globalization on national identities and to publish a series of articles as well as a book on this topic.
Before we move on to the effects, could you explain the term national identity to our listeners?
Certainly. As all of us know, every person develops their own identity in the course of their lives, which they usually stick to, unless some major incident forces them to adapt to a changing environment. Such incidents could be wars or personal catastrophic events. Now, apart from that, people also perceive themselves as belonging to a nation, which adds different aspects to their personal identity. We might even say that one is not complete without the other. Those aspects are somewhat similar among all the members of a nation and usually include at least one common language, a set of beliefs, morals and values, and a system of traditions and behavioural patterns. All of those factors together form what we call a national identity.
I can honestly say that I have never thought about my identity that way. It is a fascinating topic. Now, in how far can globalization then have an impact on this form of identity?
Well, to begin with, globalization affects almost every area of our lives, whether we are aware of this fact or not. Some of these factors, however, determine how we perceive our nation's status quo and whether we are satisfied with it. For example, living standards may vary considerably among different nations, which can easily leave one nation's citizens in uproar, especially if the situation is believed to have been caused by bad decisions made by the ones in charge. Other areas which are commonly subject to envy and jealousy are the availability of products or the existence of social support systems. When we reach a point where the majority of citizens experiences the present situation as unbearable, loyalty towards their nation decreases and consequently threatens the unquestioned existence of their national identity.
Assuming this is the case, what consequences would this nation have to face?
That depends on several factors. In general, it must be said that countries offering more benefits in form of monetary support or unemployment programs suffer less from periods of disappointment or protest among their citizens. In contrast to that, nations which tend to tightly control their citizens' personal freedom, maybe through censorship or restrictive laws, are in a bigger danger of losing public support.
If support for their own nations vanishes, where do people turn to then?
What we have seen in the past few years is that globalization has turned an increasing number of people into global identities who feel no longer tied to a certain nation, but embrace the concept of belonging to a global mega-society. While this society is still developing its own moral codes and basic beliefs, more and more people see the benefits in being able to develop an interconnected global nation.
Thank you very much, Professor Storm, for your explanations on this topic. Now let's see what questions are on our listeners' minds. Can we get started? Professor Storms, thank you for meeting with me today. Since you've kindly agreed to answer some of mine and our listeners' burning questions on globalization and its effects, would you give our audience an idea of how you became an expert on this topic?
Well, after finishing my studies in international management at Berkeley University, I accepted the position of assistant manager for a multinational company, where I had to deal with the latest developments in globalization on a daily basis and for the duration of almost 7 years. From there, my career led me back to my alma mater, where I became a professor in the international management department. This position enabled me to intensify my research concerning the effects of globalization on national identities and to publish a series of articles as well as a book on this topic.
Before we move on to the effects, could you explain the term national identity to our listeners?
Certainly. As all of us know, every person develops their own identity in the course of their lives, which they usually stick to, unless some major incident forces them to adapt to a changing environment. Such incidents could be wars or personal catastrophic events. Now, apart from that, people also perceive themselves as belonging to a nation, which adds different aspects to their personal identity. We might even say that one is not complete without the other. Those aspects are somewhat similar among all the members of a nation and usually include at least one common language, a set of beliefs, morals and values, and a system of traditions and behavioural patterns. All of those factors together form what we call a national identity.
I can honestly say that I have never thought about my identity that way. It is a fascinating topic. Now, in how far can globalization then have an impact on this form of identity?
Well, to begin with, globalization affects almost every area of our lives, whether we are aware of this fact or not. Some of these factors, however, determine how we perceive our nation's status quo and whether we are satisfied with it. For example, living standards may vary considerably among different nations, which can easily leave one nation's citizens in uproar, especially if the situation is believed to have been caused by bad decisions made by the ones in charge. Other areas which are commonly subject to envy and jealousy are the availability of products or the existence of social support systems. When we reach a point where the majority of citizens experiences the present situation as unbearable, loyalty towards their nation decreases and consequently threatens the unquestioned existence of their national identity.
Assuming this is the case, what consequences would this nation have to face?
That depends on several factors. In general, it must be said that countries offering more benefits in form of monetary support or unemployment programs suffer less from periods of disappointment or protest among their citizens. In contrast to that, nations which tend to tightly control their citizens' personal freedom, maybe through censorship or restrictive laws, are in a bigger danger of losing public support.
If support for their own nations vanishes, where do people turn to then?
What we have seen in the past few years is that globalization has turned an increasing number of people into global identities who feel no longer tied to a certain nation, but embrace the concept of belonging to a global mega-society. While this society is still developing its own moral codes and basic beliefs, more and more people see the benefits in being able to develop an interconnected global nation.
Thank you very much, Professor Storm, for your explanations on this topic. Now let's see what questions are on our listeners' minds.